So Sukhavati, therefore, in the full sense, is now open and the nucleus, or at least a nucleus, of the new society has been inaugurated, and this it is that we've been celebrating so joyfully in the course of these last 9 or 10 days. And it's what I hope we will have more and more cause, more and more reason to celebrate as time goes on. And it's in connection with these celebrations, in a way as part of these celebrations, that I'd like to consider a very important question. And that is the question of authority and the individual in the new society. We've been talking about the new society. We've seen essentially what the new society is, what it consists in, and how Sukhavati itself is the nucleus of a new society, the new society. So the question arises, what about authority in the new society? What about the individual in the new society? That is to say, the new society, as represented by Sukhavati, with its resident spiritual community, its cooperative, and its centre. So authority and the individual in the new society. This is the question to which we're going to give some attention this evening, and probably it's the most important question to which, at this juncture, we could possibly address ourselves. It's a question which is important not only for Sukhavati, important not only for the Western Buddhist Order and the friends of the Western Buddhist Order, this question, the question of authority and the individual, especially in the new society, is important for the whole world, important for the whole of humanity. So it's this question that we're going to go into, at least briefly, this evening. But before going into it, there's another question, a practical question, about which I'd like to say something. And that is a question which might already have arisen in the minds of some of you. And that question is, how does one make the transition from the old society to the new? That surely is a very practical question indeed. How does one make the transition from the old society to the new, assuming the new, or at least a nucleus of the new, to be already in existence? On the one hand, the old society, so large, so powerful, with so many ramifications in so many ways. On the other hand, the nucleus, at least, of the new society, as I've described it. So how does one pass from the one to the other? How does one make that all-important transition? Well, fortunately, there's a bridge. There's a link between the two. And that is the centre. The centre, in this case the London Buddhist Centre, is, as it were, the common ground. It's where these two worlds, these two societies, meet, where they overlap, where they come together. So what happens? What happens? This is, in a way, the story of many of you already. It's already happened. But let me describe what happens for the sake, for the benefit of those perhaps who have yet to make that transition, who have yet to pass from the old society to the new. What happens? Well, what happens initially is that someone is dissatisfied. Dissatisfaction is very creative, provided it's not, of course, just what we call disgruntlement, provided it's based on genuine disillusionment. If it is, that dissatisfaction is a very positive, a very creative, and a very powerful thing. So someone is dissatisfied. That's the starting point. He's dissatisfied with his family, with his work, with his leisure activities. And perhaps, more often than not, he's pretty fed up with himself as well. So he starts looking around. And he hears, perhaps, about Buddhism. He hears about the center. He hears about meditation classes. So he starts coming along to meditation classes, maybe attending lectures, possibly even going on retreats. And as a result of all this, as a result of the meditation, as a result of listening to talks and so on, he starts changing. And this, I can assure you, is something that I myself have seen happening with people in numberless instances. And many of you, especially those of you who are order members, will have seen it yourself in the context of your own classes. One sees people actually changing. And this, one might say, is the greatest miracle of all, that people can change, not just change horizontally, but change vertically. There's an incident in the life of the Buddha where the Buddha himself spoke about this. You know, the ancient Indians were very interested in supernormal powers, miraculous powers. And the Buddha was often asked about these things. He was even asked sometimes to demonstrate, to display supernormal powers, miraculous powers. Sometimes he did, perhaps when he was in a good mood. More often than not, he sternly refused. Huh? But even now, people like to even hear about these things, you see. As soon as I start talking about supernormal powers, miraculous powers, you all start perking up. I remember there was someone came to see me many years ago in Kalimpong. He'd come all the way from the West. He's a very intelligent man from Oxford University. He'd also been to Dublin University. And he was a doctor, a medical man. And he arrived one day at the Triyanavarjuna Vihara, where I stayed, in Kalimpong, within sight of the Himalayas. And he said, "I've come to learn. I want you to teach me." So I said, "All right, I'll do my best if I can help you. What would you like to be taught?" And he said, "I want to be able to read people's thoughts, and I want to be able to see what is going to happen in the future." So I had to say, "Sorry, I can't help you." But this is what he was interested in, and it's what a lot of people are still interested in, even today. But the Buddha rather discouraged that sort of thing. And he used to say, these so-called supernormal powers, these so-called miracles, they are very small, very insignificant things. He even went so far as to say, "I contemn and abhor them. I look down upon them." He said, "These are not real miracles. These are not real supernatural phenomena. The real miracle is when someone who was following the dark path changes and starts following the bright path, the path of skillful activity, the path of the spiritual life. That is the real miracle." And believe me, we can see that miracle happening, I won't say every day, but certainly every week and certainly every month in our own centers, where people do come along, people literally off the street, one might say, who start meditating, who start understanding, seeing something of the Buddha's vision of existence, and who do change. You might think that having been in the same old rut for so many years, so many decades, as I think most of you have been or were once upon a time, you might even be thinking, you can't change. It's too late. You might think, "Well, here I am, 40, 50. I can't possibly change." But that's a great mistake. You can. You can change. If you get into the right sort of situation and have the right sort of encouragement, the right sort of conditions, you can change. And this is what happens. This is what we see. Someone changes after participating in meditation classes and all the other things that a center has to offer. He changes, or she changes, and becomes more aware, more emotionally positive. Believe it or not, people who come along initially with hangdog expressions, looking as though all the cares of the world were upon their shoulders, as though they hadn't a glimmering of hope in their lives, they change. And in the course of a few weeks, sometimes in the course of just a weekend retreat away in the country, you see them beginning to look bright, happy, cheerful, positive. You actually see this happening before your very eyes. And eventually, they start feeling that they cannot go on living in the same old way. Such a person starts finding his family and work very restricting, cramping. So he decides, in the old traditional expression, the old traditional phrase, to go forth. Decides to join a spiritual community. Decides to join a right livelihood project, either at Sukhavati itself or somewhere else in the movement, wherever these things, wherever these facilities do exist. And we find that the whole process, from start to finish, the first time coming along, dissatisfied with your ordinary life, up to the time when you make this sort of decision and go forth, the whole process may take 2 or 3 years. In some cases, it takes only 2 or 3 months to make that transition. It depends on the individual. But whether slowly or whether quickly one does make the transition from the old society to the new, and henceforth one is part of the new society, and one's own strength as an individual goes to strengthen that new society. And henceforth one lives all the time in a situation which is conducive to one's development as a human being, one's spiritual development, a situation in which one can go on growing and growing and growing indefinitely. And that, I can assure you, is a very rare opportunity indeed. An opportunity which I think I can say did not exist in Britain before the Western Buddhist Order and the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order started. An opportunity which, as I know from my own experience, one seldom encounters, even in the Buddhist East. However, I don't want to dwell too much on that. It's well known to many of you from your own experience.